authority. What was it that he did to get that authority? Oh, we have a know-it-all in the back. Yes, what he did was he became the Son of Man, because the Son of Man had the authority, not the Son of God. Interesting, isn't it? He emptied himself of being God and became a man. That was one thing we studied. Second thing we studied was Ephesians 6:12. What did it say? It said that we wrestled. What did we wrestle about? It's kind of a kingdom type scripture. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against number one, rulers. Number two, against the powers. He's going upwards in stature here. Again, number three, against the world forces of this darkness. Number four, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's what you're fighting against. If you never learn to take on the rulers, you'll never learn to take on number two, the powers. And if you don't get it through the powers, you're going to have a hard time against the world forces of darkness. Most people want to start with, say, the world forces of darkness. They want to march on Rome or Belgium or New York or Washington or something, Beijing, and they get squashed. Then we looked briefly at 2 Kings 4 and 8. 2 Kings 4 and 8. And this was Elisha, the protege of Elijah. And this was the particular thing of the woman from Shunem. Let's just read some of that again. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman. And she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. They became friends. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive." This is her spirit picking something up. Do you remember Paul when he was, they were going to take him on the ship to Rome, passing through Cyprus, and he says, "Man, I perceive this voyage will have a lot of trouble. It'll be disastrous with loss of cargo, loss of life." But that's what he said. "I perceive." He was picking it up in his spirit. Now later on, when they're being bombarded by the waves and the ship is breaking up on the rocks, and they'd been throwing stuff overboard, he said, "I've been fasting for 3 days." And he says, "The angel came to me and told me we all get out alive." See, he was moving from his own perception to a revelation. And he was getting more clarity. And if they followed the greater clarity, he could get everybody out alive. They listened to him, and there was no loss of life. She said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, passing by us continually." And as we mentioned before, if you want to know what's going on in the spirit, you start to look at the spirit. You don't look at the world. And if you want to know what's going on in the kingdom, you seek the kingdom. You don't seek the world. And so if you are chasing the world, you'll perceive things in the world. And you'll perceive them relative to what your spirit is capable of. Or you'll perceive them according to the words that are washing you. The words of the world. The words of the kingdoms. Or the powers or the rulers that you shouldn't be paying attention to. But she was looking for something of the kingdom. She had her life more or less established. She was prominent. She had extra to spare for a guy wandering through. She fed him every time he showed up. But she perceived that he had something of God. That's getting at a quest for the kingdom. Not just get me to heaven, but this guy's of God. I want him around. I want to know what he's thinking. I want to know what he's doing. I want to know what he's saying. "Behold, now I perceive that this holy man is a holy man of God, passing by us continually. Please, let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand." She wants to invest in the kingdom. "And it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn in there." One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you've been careful for us with all this care.'" Because it wasn't just for Elijah, it was for his company, which was Gehazi at all times, and maybe more sometimes. "What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?" Elisha knew where he was in the kingdom. He had a voice. And she answered, "I live among my own people." She just wanted the kingdom. She didn't need help with her day-to-day life. She was a prominent woman among her own people. So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Truly she has no son, and her husband is old." So we know that Elisha wanted to do something for her just as part of, let's say, part of the church, part of the body, part of the people who were ministering to him. He wanted to minister to her. But she didn't need what he thought, what he perceived she may want. He needed another idea. Gehazi answered, "Truly, she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, "At this season next year, you will embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." The woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elijah had said to her. Isn't that interesting? It's as Elijah had said to her, and he didn't have that from God. The only thing he had from God is maybe she needs to be spoken of to the king. Let's see what we can do for her. Gehazi pointed out the missing part. He didn't pick that up. Gehazi did. She didn't say, I don't need any more kids. Gee whiz, you know, they're a lot of trouble. She said, don't lie to your maidservant. It was the desire of her heart. And Elijah, being an integral part of the kingdom, being an anointed part, one who knew the direction and heart of the Lord, but one who had not been told by revelation or prophecy to speak about this. He didn't know it. But guess what was in him? The same thing was in Peter when he went to the gate called Beautiful and the man was begging alms. Peter said, I don't have what you are looking for, but what I got, what I've got, I can give you. In the name of Jesus the Nazarene, get up and walk. And he was a cripple. He was so much a cripple that Peter then reached out and pulled him up because he couldn't get up. But when he pulled him up, God backed him up and he was healed. Now, what's interesting here, doesn't bother me. This woman conceived and bore a son the next year as Elisha had said to her. When you walk in the kingdom, you walk in authority. Why? How would you get that authority? Well, it's curious for us. We're already a son of man. Can I use that without getting into gender stuff here today? We're already a son of man. This authority is a kingdom word. We need to become a son of God. Now, the son of God, he already had the son of God part. He needed to become the son of man. Because authority on the earth flows from God to his people on the earth. Not to any spirit, but his people. The ones that are born of the Spirit. And as many as believed on him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Okay? So Elijah is in this position. He's not born again. Jesus hadn't shown up. But there is a kingdom which is a type and shadow of a kingdom. And he has an anointing which is an authority and a power. And he exercises it. When he identifies the need, he was there to meet her need from, can I put it this way, from the kingdom. It's not exactly the same. It's a type and shadow. But he was there to meet her need from this. And when he identified the need, he didn't go up on the mountain and pray for 30 days. He was doing this for his neighbor, if I could put it that way. And she conceived and bore a son. Do not lie to your maidservant. Do you know why God can't lie? The reason God can't lie is that no word of God comes forth without power. So whatever he says is true from that point on. You know, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, how come Jesus was always speaking the truth? Because he had the authority to make it true. That's what Elijah's doing. Now, do we see that in the kingdom? Do we see that in our structure? What would Jesus answer if the disciples came to him and said, increase our faith? He would say, if you had faith like a mustard seed, At least he did in Luke 17:5. You would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. It would obey you. Faith is the electricity of the kingdom. The unseen power, spiritual power, not physical power. Electricity is a physical power. In the electromagnetic realm, faith is a spiritual power in the kingdom realm. Matthew 4. Let's explore this a little bit more. We'll get after it again on Tuesday. Do you learn more when you think about the same thing again? You know, Einstein said this famous blooper. People took it as truth, but it was actually a blooper. It's scripturally inaccurate, and it's inaccurate from just a host of experiential things. Einstein said, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. Okay? How many of you have ever played the piano as well as I have? Okay, everybody's played the piano as well as I have. But do you know how to get to the concert hall if you're pushing your piano down the sidewalk? You keep doing the same thing, expecting a better result. Practice, practice, practice. Elijah, the guy who came before Elijah, sent Gehazi, the guy who could figure it out what this woman wanted, sent him back 7 times. The first 6 times he was sent back to look at an empty sky, expecting a different result. The 7th time he saw a different result, which was insignificant, a cloud the size that big. Now maybe it was a distance thing, or maybe it was a very small cloud. But Elijah kept doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Faith and patience produces. The farmer who sows seed upon the soil goes to bed and gets up. What does he do the next day? He goes to bed and he gets up. And he's expecting a different result. Does he get a different result? Yes. First the blade, then the stalk, then the fruit. You see, if you walk by sight and you think by sight, then you are crazy to see the same result and expect another one. But if you walk by faith, you already have the different result. The question is, when is it coming? You're applying a different power. I come in, I turn that thermostat up, it says 63. I walk away, I come back, it says 63. So I turn the thermostat off and say it doesn't work. It's a good thing I don't operate that way, or you'd be unhappy. No, I expect a different result, and after a while I get the different result. You remember what we emphasized about a month ago several times to get it in? So that it is now locked in. In kingdom, as opposed to salvation, which is provision, kingdom is promise and authority. And there is time involved. The kingdom rule is this: believe you have received, and it shall be. I expect a different result. Can that affect you? Jesus said to several people, different occasions, according to your faith is how this is moving to you. He said to the man who had the demonic son, all things are possible to him who will believe, or who is believing, is actually the way it was put. If you're believing the ship is moving, you can steer it. If you're hoping, you haven't started the engines yet. You might be afloat, but you're not applying any power. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The thing that produces the hoped for is the faith. Matthew 4. I'm going to start in 3. 3:13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus, answering, said to him, permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, because baptized is not baptized, it is immersed. If you translate the word rather than transfer the word, it says he was immersed, not sprinkled. Not dabbed. Jesus came up immediately from the water. And the rumor went out that Jesus just couldn't hold his breath, that he was a heavy smoker and he needed to quit. But that rumor was false. Did you walk or drive? Oh, okay. And then he permitted him, and after being baptized, we're in Matthew 4:4. Not yet, though. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, a voice out of the heavens is speaking, and the Spirit of God is descending as a dove in a bodily form, a physical form, and lighting on him. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit that had come to him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. To be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry, and the tempter came. After he'd done his religious duty, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he had a word already in him with which he could deal with the tempter. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if, he's coming up to this question, do you know who you are? If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and that on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That's Psalm 91 he's quoting to him, which was a psalm written by Moses, a man who knew what it was to have deliverance around him. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan. I think the King James is get thee hence. But hence were not available when they wrote this Bible. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. The angels didn't show up until he exercised some authority over the devil. Go, Satan. Satan leaves, and the angels come. Paul made this mistake. He hadn't read Matthew properly when he began his ministry, because Matthew hadn't been written. But he said that this messenger of Satan was sent a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And he was praying and asking God to get rid of the messenger of Satan. And God answered and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, what is grace? It is the favor and gifting of God. How did Elijah take care of that widow? He said, call her, bring her to me, is what he said. Jesus would use the same phrase later. Only he said, bring him to me, because it was the little boy that was epileptic. And he said, bring him to me. And Elijah says, bring her to me. And then he spoke, and it happened according to the word of God. Sort of. According to the word of Elijah. Well, that's kind of blaspheming, isn't it? Yeah, Jesus did blaspheme. He said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So what do we say? Well, let's see what happens, and then we'll know if it was meant to be. That's what we say. For your thoughts are not like his thoughts, and your ways are not like his ways. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth and do not go back again without causing it to bear and sprout, so shall my word be which goes forth out of my mouth. You need to forsake your way and way you think. So here, we're going to do a lot more on this on Tuesday. But here Jesus receives the Holy Spirit and is set up to walk in the presence of God, because he's driven by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness. He gets rid of the crowd and he goes out where there are no distractions. He's in the wilderness. There was no Tim Hortons out there. There was no sidewalk cart with Smokies and New York fries. There was no radio. There was no baseball game. There was no car races or chariot races. There was him and the Holy Spirit. He's in the wilderness. There might have been a jackal go by. There might not have been. And he spends some time there. And then the flesh gets hungry, and when the flesh gets hungry, the devil comes. Doesn't matter what the flesh is hungry for. It can be hungry for someone to say, poor you. You need something. You need some food, you need some stroking, you need some admiration, some acceptance, some approval. You need someone to agree with you, you need someone to cry with you that you've been hard done by. You need someone to agree that you're entitled. You can take that tree as good as anybody else. God just trying to be mean to you when he won't let you eat off that tree. You need someone to make the suggestion that now that your flesh is wanting. How do I know? Because that's what happened in the garden. How do I know it was Eve's flesh? Because it says she looked and saw that the fruit was good for what Satan said it should do. How did she get that conclusion? Well, once the suggestion's there, you can see whatever you need to. He's out there, and the tempter came and said to him, If you're a good Christian, you'll give to my cause, or you'll support me, or you'll do what I ask you to do. Otherwise, I'm going to say you're not a good Christian, and we'll see if we get the fear of man working on you. If you are the Son of God, then you should be able to take care of yourself down here. Command these stones to become bread. You know that God made bread on the stones for 40 years. And he had some word in him. That's category two. When the test comes, you need to have some root in you that you're willing to walk on. You're going to walk according to that word that you have. And so Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word was still higher. Jesus was saying, I still don't need to bow to the flesh as number one. I can still stay spiritual. I'm going to stop there. We'll get back into it a little bit on Tuesday. But we have this exciting program coming up. Val's looking for the program. I got the program right here.